now. Only retreat or surrender. Or death.
Well, that's an easy choice for us, Arcadian. Spartans never retreat. Spartans never surrender.
Go spread the word. Let every Greek assembled know the truth of this.
Let each among them search his own soul.
While you're at it, search your own.
Over 4 years and going strong, with over 200,000 downloads from over 9 countries and 5 continents. I'm Greg Swanson, and this is the Warrior Mind Podcast. To find out more about Warrior Mind Coaching and Training, please visit us at www.warriormindcoach.com. Well, greetings, everyone. I have a special podcast today. I'm interviewing a friend of mine, David Didier. He's up here in Bend, Oregon. He's one of the coaches at the CrossFit gym that I go to. Just an amazing individual. He has started his own podcast. It's called The Lifestyle Project. And David has wisdom beyond his years. He's just experienced a lot of life. He's under some tutelage of some great mentors and teachers. And I found this interview to be just fascinating. I think you're going to enjoy it as well. So enjoy this special edition of the Warrior Mind Podcast. Well, welcome, David. I'm so glad you're able to take some time out and join me on this podcast. We've been friends for almost a year and a half, maybe 2 years. We've worked out at CrossFit, and you know, we kind of traded some pleasantries, but in the past couple of months, I've really gotten to know you a lot better, and I'm just amazed at the enthusiasm that you have for life, the vim, the vigor, but also how you started this lifestyle project. Tell the listeners a little bit about what drove you to start this.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Greg. Like you said, it's been quite a journey. We like you said, have known each other for about a year and a half now. Getting more and more to know each other the last few months. It's amazing how you're among people who have a lot of very like-minded, have a lot of similar ambitions and motivations that drive them. But, you know, we know each other for a while and really didn't know what each other were really into or what our motivations were. And then all of a sudden, here you're right next to me, and it all kind of came and aligned. And so that's pretty awesome. What really motivated me for the Lifestyle Project was a lot of things in my personal life. Not me personally per se, but in my family, friends of my family. My family is a lot of people who have struggled with weight. Mm-hmm. And the hard part is probably like a lot of others, like my parents have struggled with getting on diets, trying diets, finding success, but then ultimately kind of, you know, losing X amount of pounds and then finding some of it, you know, and so it kind of that yo-yo diet that a lot of people have experienced, unfortunately. And the problem that I saw with all this, you name all the different diets out there, they're everywhere, that a lot of them, you can't, it's hard to translate them into regular everyday life. So why do people go on to, for instance, my mom did Nutrisystem, lost a lot of weight, and she learned some things, you know, learned portion control and all these things, but ultimately she wasn't going to be eating that food forever. So then once she transitioned off that food, unfortunately, kind of slipped back into some old habits and gained a lot of the weight back. And my thing was, I'm not a big fan of diets. I'm more of a fan of lifestyle changes. And so my thing was the reason I came up with that was kind of the motivation behind it, seeing people in my personal life struggle and knowing a lot of other people do, and how do we help motivate them and give them resources and tools and knowledge to make changes that are sustainable to their lifestyle, becomes ingrained in what their lifestyle is. Not that they ever feel like they're being deprived of anything, but yet they could feel better, be more active, and just live a healthier, you know, healthier, better life is really how it came about. And, that's kind of where I came up with the name. I kind of spent some time thinking about, you know, what did I want to call it? I had the message, but what do I want to call it? Obviously lifestyle, because I wanted to help people make these sustainable changes, not just to a diet or such, but to their lifestyle, ingraining it in their lifestyle. And then the other thing is being a project. We live in a society where we like quick results, or instant gratification. Well, when it comes to health and wellness, it's a project. It's constantly evolving. We're always learning new things with science, or learning new things, and so you've never hit the finish line, so to speak. We're always working on it, and it's a project that's always under construction, if you will. So that's kind of how I come about that name.
Great. I mean, this is amazing. You're not, you know, 18 years old, but again, you don't have a family started yet either. And mm-hmm. yet most individuals around your age group would be out partying and doing whatever. And you've taken this on as to help just not your family, but other people. And I sense, you know, from listening to your podcast and talking to you, that the Lifestyle Project is way more than just about eating.
Oh, for sure. I think, well, listen, I'm going to, when I get up here if I get on my podcast or whatever it is, or, you know, guests on like your podcast and I'm sitting here talking about living a healthy lifestyle and health and wellness and all this, I am not out of touch. I'm not one of those guys that goes and says, hey, you know, you got to eat, you got to be perfect every time, every meal. You can't, and, you know, indulge in any treats that you like, you know, no alcohol, no, I'm not that guy. I'm realistic. But for me, it's all about finding that balance and understanding that if you want to eat that burger, like I go out and I see people on certain diets and maybe they're with a group of friends and they see their friends are eating a burger and they literally are sitting on their hands like shaking. They want that so bad, but it's their diet that's telling them they can't have it. I'm like, that's not sustainable. Yeah. You're telling me that. For me, it's eat that burger, but understand, you know what, tomorrow, maybe you need to work out an extra, a little bit, whatever it is, or don't have alcohol the next couple of days. Try to find ways to balance out that burger in your life, but don't ever feel like you're depriving yourself of anything. We were talking about it earlier. I just got back from the Seafood and Wine Festival in Newport, Oregon. Did I drink some wine? Absolutely, I did, because that's what it's all about. But I tell you what, this week I'm not going to have any because I had enough for one day. But it's all about finding that balance within your life. And it's one of those things. I think the brain is a powerful tool, but a lot of times you know, you maybe shouldn't have a certain thing, but what's great for me is it's not hard for me not to drink this week because not only does my brain know I probably shouldn't have it, but my body's telling me, you know what, man, we're good for a while. And that's where we want to try to get people at.
Right. And that's a really good point. You know, on my side, I talk about the mental strength, and it's mental strength is also not just about restricting, right? It's not about cutting yourself off from the pleasures in life. It's by allowing yourself to have that wine with the seafood, enjoy every bit of it without any guilt, and then know that for the next 5, 7, 10 days, you're going to have the discipline to go to the gym and work out and eat clean. So both of those come into a balance or a harmony, as I like to say it. But what I'd like to ask you about is you make a really good reference on your site. I have a complacent zone model, and inside the complacent zone, I talk about the environment. The environment is people, place, or things. You call it a circle of influence. Can you talk a little bit about this circle of influence and how it can affect the people who are in the middle of that circle?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was kind of I was introduced to that concept this year. I want to say it was early this fall. I never really heard about. I guess we all, hindsight's always 20/20. Once the concept's kind of introduced to us, and we're like, oh yeah, I mean, we've always had it, but we never called it that or really paid attention or took the time to look at it. But I heard a study, and I believe it was from Stanford, and I know you know it, so tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was a Stanford study where they said you're the average of the 5 closest people in your life.
Yep.
I looked at it, and I thought of that, and first I dismissed it. And then another speaker said it again. I'm like, okay, obviously, if you got multiple speakers talking about it, maybe there's something to it. And I sat there and thought about it, and I think it's totally true. If you have... And it doesn't always just have to do with health or whatever, but let's say different examples I'm thinking of. If you surround yourself with a group of people who smoke, what are the chances that you become a smoker yourself? Probably pretty high. If you're around people who love to go shopping and spend money on shoes or whatever, chances are you're probably going to maybe fall into that habit or end up spending more than you maybe normally would. And so the people who surround yourself with, they pull you in the direction of the group. And so for me, you know, I looked at it, well, one funny story was there's a guy who goes up there and talks about it again, and he goes, you know how I know this is true? He says, I grew up, there was five of us friends. We were really good friends. Two of them are Democrats, two of them are Republicans. He goes, guess what I am? He goes, I'm an independent. It's like, it was just hilarious. So there was one in action, and politics has nothing to do with it, just an example, but it's totally true. And so for me, I started to really, really look at it and kind of take inventory of who I had in my circle of influence and where did I feel where I was dragged down, and where did I really want to go? And those people that I had in that circle, are they the ones who are going to get me there? And I think the first reaction, and it's too bad that people first think this way, is that they almost feel like, well, that's being selfish. Like maybe if it's a family friend you've had for a while, you've known them for, you know, maybe it's your best friend from a long time, and you start looking at it and you're like, you know what, they're really dragging you down. They almost think that changing up, maybe putting them in a different priority, is somehow selfish of you to do. And I think not putting yourself first is absolutely selfish. I think you need to you need to put yourself first, because if you don't look out for yourself, nobody else will. And, you know, you need to do the things to get you, and I talk about all the time, you know, from where you are to where you want to be. And maybe that person, doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean they're not important to you. Right. But maybe they just take maybe a less significant role. Instead of hanging out with them every day, maybe hang out with them once a week or whatever it is. So I've noticed in my life, and as I open myself up, it's just not only do you start to feel more energy, you start to feel your life going in the direction you want it, but then you start to, in that void, oh my gosh, it is amazing also in these people that you get exposed to that are like-minded like you, and you just get all this energy right. that you never had before if you didn't really open yourself up to that. So,
right, and when you look at it, in the middle, if you're unconscious, you are being influenced by your circle of influence. When you become conscious like you, you become the influencer. And and this is what's so amazing, at least with some of my clients, is that they work on themselves, the personal development, and then people start to fade away and they want to keep them. I go, and you can't. When you work on yourself, your external environment has to change. And so it's not, it's, you know, I love the way you have it in the circle of influence, because as you, as I've been seeing you and what I'm hearing is as you progress, your circle, some of the people are going to stay behind, others are going to fill it. So you have shifted your role from being influenced to being the influencer.
Without a doubt. I totally agree with that.
Wow. And as you do that, it's, you know, you obviously are bringing more people into your life. I mean, you got a fantastic podcast out there. Tell us first, while I'm remembering, what's the web address that people can go to find out more about the Lifestyle Project?
Yeah, if you want to look up lifestyleprojectshow.com, on there we've got all of our podcasts. Or I'm going to be, you know, doing more and more YouTube videos and things. So we're building up that inventory. But from there, you can be directed to like us on Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook. It's definitely in its infancy stages, but it's exciting. I mean, it's so exciting to see the people who have really been receiving what really the message and the goal of the Lifestyle Project is. I mean, now I checked it. I haven't checked it for a few days. I checked it on Friday when I posted an episode. Actually, I lied. It was Thursday. I'm sorry. When I posted an episode, and now we've got listeners in 34 states, 17 countries. So it's been pretty awesome how it's spread, and I'm just looking forward to the future. It's definitely exciting.
Fantastic. And so speaking of future, how do you see this? I mean, again, for the listeners, David's an amazing guy. I mean, he goes into the gym, he does his strength training, he has a full-time job, and then he comes in, he coaches CrossFit, and he's just all over the place, and his energy is out there. But he's working his lifestyle, and he's making the decisions, you know, the right decisions at the right time, and the happy decisions at the happy time, like the wine and seafood. So what is your vision of the Lifestyle Project? Where do you see it going?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think it can go so many ways right now, for sure. So where I'm kind of, well, right now I'm just looking at different opportunities as I get involved with other people and expose myself. I see things. I just recently partnered with a company was signed up with a company called Isagenics. The reason I did it was, one, well, we've talked about it before. I love experimenting with health, right? And so we talked about supplements, if it's supplements or if it's my vitamin regimen, that it's all different things. I try to, as I learn things, I try different stuff and see what really makes my body feel better or doesn't, and doing that route. And it's just, it's kind of fun for me. And I came across, actually, it's amazing, like we talked about, once you kind of tell the universe, and I wasn't big into the whole universe thing. I was never kind of had that mindset, but I totally think it's true. Listen, I'm a farm kid from the Midwest.
Right.
So we don't talk that way. But coming out to living on the West Coast, you start to open up to different ideas and things. And yep. I totally think it's true. I kind of put it out to the universe that who the people I wanted to meet, who I, you know, what my goals are, and where, how I want to help the world. And I've met some amazing people when I was down in Phoenix on a work trip, Elliot and Lindsay Schwartz, and they introduced me to Isagenics. And it's just an amazing company with basically, and their goals align so much with what my goals are and in trying to help people lose weight or, you know, live the lifestyle they want. If it's more energy, lose weight, healthy aging, whatever it is. And so, and to see how they're going about it and what they're doing, what they're all about. So I just recently partnered with them actually before we got on this. On this call, I was on the phone with them talking about it, learning as much as I can about the company and the product. So I'm really interested to learn more about that. So I think there's a combination of things, looking at different products and things that can get into people's lives, align with people's lifestyles. I think that's huge for me. Looking at possibly getting into some coaching. We talked about it, Greg, maybe doing some kind of like a seminar or something like that to get out and in front of people and motivate people. So, you know, webinars, whatever it is, I try to find any way that I can to help motivate people. And I see the people who have made the transformation. I see, well, in our little world at our gym, the people who come in who are frustrated. And for whatever reason, when they come in, they set a ceiling for themselves that's so much lower than they're capable of.
Yeah.
And for us to kind of show them and say, you know what, I understand this is what you think you're capable of, but let me show you what you can really do. And when we're able to do that for people, it is so awesome to see how much happier they are in their life. All of a sudden the things that used to worry them before don't worry them anymore. Yep. They're minuscule. And so for me, that's really what it is. And that'll always be, I love being exposed to different things. I love meeting new people. And so no matter where I end up going with this, that'll always be the root focus of the Lifestyle Project, is to help people reach those goals and get, and I talk about it all the time, get from where they are to where they want to be, and doing it in a way that is incorporates into their lifestyle, doesn't feel like a burden, doesn't feel like they're being deprived of something. It's a choice, not only mentally but physically, and that's where I see the project going.
And that's great. And you know what's interesting with that? I love the word lifestyle, because whether people know it or not, they're living a lifestyle. They are deciding their lifestyle. They either can decide it consciously or unconsciously. And with your help as the guide, right, with the light through the dark or the lighthouse, whatever example you want to give, you're allowing people to consciously create the lifestyle. So the thing is we are always creating our lifestyle. It may be one that we do unconsciously, and that doesn't support us to our best human potential. But what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing you do is bringing that awareness to individuals that, hey, you can make better choices. When you make better choices, your lifestyle will change. When your lifestyle changes, you change, and then, you know, the energy and the whole part changes around it. And that's just amazing. Let me ask you, who right now, you know, at least for myself, I went through several guides and mentors, whether they were through books or videos or whatever, and I go through them, you know, on a regular basis. None of them are better than the others, but who is your inspiration these days? What books are you reading? You know, where do you get your inspiration from?
Yeah, it's funny is when I growing up, I was one of those kids, wasn't a big reader. Didn't really enjoy reading growing up. I was the classic high school, we got to read a book, I was printing off Spark Notes. I was that guy, right? But for me, even growing up, I wasn't one to go play army or, imagination thing. I was more of a hands-on person. I liked to build things. I liked stuff that was real. And so for me, I got hooked on nonfiction books. And so I read a lot of business books, read a lot of books here lately on Tony Robbins, been reading a lot of stuff by him, watching a lot of videos. He's here lately has been a big inspiration for me. I'm halfway done with Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, that's a classic
that's
book.
That's one. And so, yeah, classic. And that book's just amazing to me at how it's, I believe he wrote that in the 30s, and it's still so pertinent today. And it's a lot of the stuff, at least so far, like I said, I'm halfway through it, but such basic stuff. You don't have to be a PhD in psychology to understand really how the human brain works. We're such simple creatures in the end. And so that I'm reading that one now. So I try to read as much as I can and just put myself out there. But really here lately, focusing on the books about kind of the psychology of humans and how our brain works and what really drives us to success and what makes the successful people different from the people who haven't been as successful. Because in the end, we all are made up of the same parts, but what makes those people different? And so that's really what I've been focusing my attention on here lately is learning a lot of that.
Yeah, and that's important. That's the mindset will determine the actions, and the actions determine the results. And for the listeners, I got to say again that age has no bearing on wisdom. And David has the wisdom of sometimes an 80-year-old. Not that that's old, but what I'm saying is that you have this worldly wisdom because he's open. And this is why I connect so well with him, because he's open to new ideas and he puts into practice. He practices what he preaches. He'll read something and go try it. He'll do this, he'll do that. And quote, if he fails, which there is no failure, there's just feedback, he makes adjustments. And this is why I just had to get him on our podcast, because he's wise beyond his years, for one. And two, he's taken that wisdom and sharing it with people as opposed to keeping it to himself. And he's sharing it through this lifestyle project, through his podcasts, and just the way he walks his walk. And it's just a great inspiration to hang around with him. So we talked a little bit about the future of the lifestyle project. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in a metamorphosis part. We talked about, where your motivation comes from. When you do hit those down spots, when you hit those spots that, whether you want to call it frustration, or just you don't feel like getting up in the morning to do the 5:30 CrossFit class or whatever it might be, what gets you over that hump?
I think, for me, a big influence in my life is my family. And so for those who don't know, I'm originally from Illinois. I'm the oldest of five kids, and for the last 3 years, well, 4 years, I've lived away from home. I graduated school, moved to Denver, but I've been out on the West Coast here for the last 3 years. And for me, there's certain times when I'm human just like everybody else. I have better days than others, or there's some days that are worse. And for me, there's times where I miss my family, miss being there with them, and I see things that they're doing that I'm missing out on. But for me, what motivates me is what the end game is. And I don't just say it on my podcast. And honestly, Greg, when you were talking about your system of setting goals and maintaining goals, I always thought, I guess I never worded it that way until I had heard it from you, but that lighthouse, right? What's my end game? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And why am I doing it? And for me, it's I see what I can do for other people that's out there. The fact that the goal is to have freedom to where I can be wherever my family is, maybe not locked down by geography. It's not just, we talk about health and wellness, the lifestyle project. Your lifestyle is not just you know, being able to maybe eat what you want or drink what you want. It's maybe it's for some people, it's being able to live where you want, not being geographically bound by, I say, a job or other things. And for me, that's a big part of it. So, that's a lot of it. You know, I can get down and I miss my family and I start to question, am I doing the right thing and all this stuff. But then I look at the people that we've been helping in the gym. I look at some of these people that I've met. I look at a lot of things that are on the horizon, and then I get reinvigorated. I get re-excited about what's going on. Once I look at that big picture, and then I'm just better. And then I just get up and move on. Another thing too. Go ahead, Greg.
No, go ahead. Please finish up.
No, I was going to say the other thing too is, you know, I know a lot of people too who are struggling, that maybe it's cancer or if it's other things. And I look at their situation as a source of motivation as well. And I think really, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm complaining about some really, in the end, what I'm complaining about is small. And there's a lot of people who are struggling way harder than I am. You know, they got way worse things going on. And so that kind of puts me back in the right mindset, pick myself up and keep on moving.
Right. And for the listeners, just want to point out that all of David's examples was outside of himself. You know, when we get down and depressed or whatever, we start to focus on poor me. We have a pity party. We focus on ourselves. And the more we focus on ourselves, the more we're going to be able to find things wrong. But if you listen to what David said, is that he focuses on outside himself. Who's waiting for him at the gym? Who's looking to him for inspiration? And he looks outside of himself. And this is what's so amazing about him, because David will look outside himself almost all the time. And because of that, he's getting this, you know, the rewards, the pleasure, the joy, the accolades of people out there. And he's not doing it because of that. He has an intrinsic motivation to help others. But, you know, the key there, and what I heard exactly, was that you don't focus on yourself, you focus on others to get yourself motivated.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, Greg, you know it. Life's not easy. A lot of things going on. I mean, we have all sorts of things to worry about. And like doing your podcast, I know from firsthand experience, putting a podcast on and doing all these recordings and all the editing and everything else you have to do, it's not easy. If you did all these things and all these things we're looking at, and we did it for just ourselves, we would find an easy way to quit.
Yeah.
In the end, that motivation is not big enough to a lot of times go through everything you got to go through to make some of these things happen. For me, it's never been about that. It's always about, people ask, and you'll hear it you'll hear it all over the place, is what's your why? What's your reasoning? Yeah. And for me, I found what that why was. For a while, I wasn't sure what it was. I questioned. That's why, you know, I'm always been an idea person, but I've always had ideas and I never had any action. So when I finally figured out really what's that fire that burns inside, what's that why that gets me up at 3:30 a.m. I had a coach this morning. I was up at 3:30 this morning. My mind would not stop. I've been going nonstop since then. I'll go to bed late, keep working on stuff. What keeps me going? What keeps me driving? If it was for me, I'd still be sleeping. It's like you find places to sleep. But for me, it's bigger than that. When it's bigger than you, and you have this, and you see the impact you can have on other people, that's what gets you up early. That's what keeps you up late. And that's where you find that drive.
Oh, that's a great point. That's so powerful. And I hope the listeners are taking note of that, because, you know, that's just, when I coach people, I'm sure when people come up to you as well, it's, you know, how do you do it? And they looking internally as to the why, and many, like you said, it has to be bigger than yourself. I want to ask you one more question before we wrap up. I work on mental strength, and I kind of got to that through the physical. Just on your personal experience, how much does the physical part of your life determine the mental part of your life?
Oh, huge. And I think a lot of it maybe has to do with my history as an athlete. But if I and it's a gift and a curse, but if I, you know, it is, if I don't go to the gym, or if I got something going on, it definitely starts to screw with my head. Right now I'm battling a wrist injury, and so I can't I haven't been able to work out like I want to. There's a lot of things that I've been working on training for. We've got, at least in the CrossFit community, for anyone who's in tune with it, we've got the Open that's starting up this week. We've got all sorts of things, and we work all year to participate in a lot of that stuff. And right now, it's looking like I probably can't. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm signed up, but
right.
Battling this broken wrist, it's been a struggle, and at times, yeah, it's screwed with my head, but it's also, like I said, you can get so down, and you can get so engulfed in all the negative things. I've looked at this injury, yeah, sure, it's frustrated me at times. I can't do certain things that I want to do, but it's forced me to think outside the box. It's forced me to think about different ways that I can exercise without using my wrist. I mean, think about all the things that we do where our wrists are involved. It's a lot. And so it's forced me to think outside the box, go reach out to other people who are more knowledgeable than I am and give me suggestions for things. And I've come up with stuff I never would have thought of. And so, I mean, there's always a silver lining in everything. And if I focused on the negative part, yeah, I could get pretty bogged down on it. But then it kind of re-excites me on the different movements that I've thought of, that we've thought of, the different things I can do to get around those injuries. Now going forward, if I ever encounter people who are maybe struggling with some injuries like I've had, now I've got some tools that I can help them with. So it's been frustrating, but I gotta stay in there. I gotta stay right. active. I gotta keep doing things. And that goes back to that circle of influence. We've got some amazing people at our gym who know that I'm struggling with this wrist, who still make sure to, I'm always involved. I'm always part of all that stuff. So that team atmosphere is huge. So I just stay involved, whatever I'm doing. If it's going out for a run, if it's going for a hike, whatever is going on, I always try to keep moving, because I feel like if I can keep moving, it just helps. Yeah, it just helps me out mentally for sure.
Yeah, and that underscores, you know, your project, the lifestyle project. Lifestyle is not static, it's dynamic, right? Because our lifestyle is always changing. And when you're used to a certain lifestyle, and I don't necessarily mean the lifestyle of the rich and famous, although that might not be such a bad thing. But if you listen to David, he's a very active person. So part of his lifestyle is being active. And to maintain that, instead of falling back to being influenced by others that say, take it easy, rest, do this. He is the influencer and continuing to live his lifestyle and finding ways and bringing people in his circle of influence to help him modify, you know, in this particular case, his physical activity due to his wrist. So he doesn't take that as being now, you know, being influenced by other people who may say, rest it for 3 weeks or do this or whatever it might be. He's still the influencer of his lifestyle and bringing people into his circle. David, just want to thank you for taking time out of the day today to do this. It's been great getting to know you. And again, let people know how they can get in contact with you, your website, and all that kind of other information.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Greg, for having me. And obviously, if at any time you'd want me back, I'd be more than happy to come back. They can come on our website is lifestyleprojectshow.com. And on there, you can find links to find us on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. If you go onto Facebook, you can search The Lifestyle Project. We'll be on there. But our website's a good resource. You can find all the links on social media, and then also links to all of our podcasts. We're also on iTunes, so you can search The Lifestyle Project on iTunes. So we're also on there.
Fantastic. Well, David, again, thank you so much, and definitely going to have you back on again soon.
For sure. Thank you so much, Greg.
Thanks for listening to the Warrior Mind podcast. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends and subscribe at warriormindcoach.com/podcast. Also, make sure you sign up for the Warrior Mind newsletter and check out our blog at warriormindcoach.com/blog. Until next time, live with courage. And remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And unless you take your rightful responsibility and begin to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.
I am not a warrior. Very soon, you will be.